Jarvis in on the forecheck. Coughlin avoided him. It comes out in front. They score! In overtime. Including this one. Here they come again! And they score again! And they're right back.
This great stuff for Vegas. Now they're on their heels a bit here. It's 4-2.
And they score again! From the half wall! Jacob Slavin! This is incredible! 4-3!
That was Sean McDonough last night on ESPN, and you know when you get his voice to crack, well, something pretty incredible has happened. And that was the case last night as Carolina rallied all the way back from down 4-0 to tie that game and send it to overtime, and then they needed another overtime to decide it before Vegas lit the lamp to take a 2-1 best-of-seven series lead. How you doing, everybody? Welcome aboard. It is Sports Sunday here on The Fan. I am Steve Zabin. Thank you so much for joining me and Metal Chris today behind the board running the show. Wow, 5-4 Vegas in double OT last night. This series has been nothing short of an electric factory. 5-4 Vegas in game one, 4-3 Carolina in game two in overtime, and then in double overtime last night, 5-4 Vegas out there in the desert. 5-4, 4-3, 5-4, overtime, double OT. And last night's game was just weird as well as being wild because no score in the first, then a 4-0 lead is raced out to by Vegas by way of a natural hat trick from Mitch Marner. And every Toronto Maple Leaf fan on the planet has to be bashing their head against the wall thinking this was our guy. This was our hometown star, and he's now out there, and he's doing things in the Stanley Cup Final that we wish our team, the Maple Leafs, would just make the Stanley Cup Final. Just once, please. And so Marner gets a natty in the second period. Vegas races out to a 4-0 lead. We get into the third period. It's turning into real fire wagon hockey, as they call it, where it's clearly kind of sloppy. It's not very disciplined. The game is going on, and literally minutes before Carolina scored to open the lid, Sean McDonough said, and I quote, "Oh boy, Carolina can't wait for this game to be over," unquote. Now, I'm not trying to make McDonough look bad in any way, shape, or form. I love Sean McDonough. He's one of the best in the biz. And he wasn't wrong. In that moment, Vegas was pretty much having their way. They had multiple chances. Hell, Marner had a penalty shot after being taken down on a breakaway that would have been his fourth goal of the game. But it was denied on the penalty shot. That's how weird and wild the game was. But McDonough wasn't wrong. Carolina could have, should have, might have, would have packed it in, but they did not. And then one goal led to another. The second goal led to a third. Now everybody is nervous as hell. Certainly Vegas was. They were as nervous as a preacher in a whorehouse, as the saying goes, or a cat on a hot tin roof. You pick your analogy. And they tied the game to send it to overtime. Hell of a game, hell of a series final. There's nothing today or tonight for us to watch. There's no hockey, there's no basketball, there's baseball, there's golf, there is WNBA, I think. I'll have to check the schedule on that. Oh yeah, last night, Sidney Johnson not just ejected for the Mystics, but the police had to come out because he was not going on his own. That's a whole separate segment, we'll get into that later on. But we got no NBA and we got no Stanley Cup. And you might say, well, wait a minute. The NBA game was Friday. Eeny, meeny, miny, moe. Every other day we go. No, no, no. No, no, no. Because of television and because the league does it this way, they're not playing tonight. I don't get it. I guess I'll never get it. to me, Sunday night during June NBA Finals was always the premier spot, was the best place to kind of ease into the week in early summertime. Okay, I'm going to listen to Pat O'Brien. And, of course, the games were not Sunday night back
in the
It's the
travel
days.
Day, though, because they're moving from San Antonio to New York. I think they had the extra day.
I know that that's kind of why they do it. But, you know, they used to play with a travel day and just a eeny, meeny, miny, mo day. Like, I think these series suffer from not being consistently eeny, meeny, miny, mo. I mean, they play 2-3 games in a short span of days during the regular season in the middle of 82. There's no reason they couldn't do it here. But thank you, Metal Chris. You're absolutely right.
It's I bet it's in the CBA, though. There's got to be something in there.
Yeah,
right?
Probably is. But am I wrong in saying that summer NBA finals on either Sunday afternoon or Sunday night used to be one of the great things going?
I mean, that's when you want to watch sports the most. Finish your weekend out, just roll into the week, you know, having watched some cool, you know, game, some big game.
Right. There's two big things going on. Stanley Cup, NBA Finals. Eeny, meeny, miny, mo, every other day we go. That's how it should be. So today, we're going to be kind of like, all right, well, what am I going to watch? And you can watch the Nats today, 3:15 first pitch. They clobbered Arizona again yesterday. It's 20 runs in two games. They're still above 500. We'll talk to Al Galdi later on this show about the Nats and some baseball. You can watch, I don't know, there's not even World Cup preview because yesterday, on the anniversary of D-Day, Team USA lost to the Germans in Chicago, 2-1. Now look, Germany is a world-class soccer power. We are still an aspiring world power in soccer. So a 2-1 result is not the worst thing in the world. It was a friendly, it was a warm-up match. I didn't watch it, so I can't even comment on necessarily how hard everybody was trying or what stars might or might not have been sitting out. Crowd was loving it. It was packed at Soldier Field, which is not one of the venues, oh, by the way, for the World Cup. I'm so dumb they're not playing there. It would have been a great vibe down by the lake, but whatever. And it was one of those things where you're like, really? We lost to the Germans of all teams on D-Day? Yes, we did. Although, did you see this, Metal Chris? They had a B-52 flyover yesterday. Yes.
In Chicago.
B-52s in Chicago. Apparently, and I don't think these planes are still, well, I think they are actually still in our arsenal, our suite of active military equipment. We don't use them nearly as much as we once did, but B-52s, pretty awesome. Flyover. And then we lose 2-1 to the Germans. Ooh, the Germans. I wouldn't mind seeing today.
Maybe they should have brought the Love Shack B-52s.
That they could have brought the Love Shack B-52s. Although I saw a viral clip of them playing in Vegas because they're still out there cashing nominal checks for whatever money they can.
That's a nostalgia act, I'm sure.
Let me tell you, Chris, it is. It's not good. I'll send you the clip during the break. It is really, really sad. You're like, oh, man, you sure you guys need this money? B-52s? Anyway, so World Cup begins this week, Thursday. I'm a visual guy, so I wanted to see the whole feat. I want to see the whole thing, the whole 48-team mishpucha. And I want to see all the venues and the schedule. And I'm going to give FIFA credit here, even though they are an absolute band of criminals. And they're manipulating the ticket prices. They're changing their policy on water you can bring into the stadium. But I'll give FIFA credit on this. They actually have a color-coded, well-laid-out grid that has every match by day and sorted by venue. I'm printing this sucker out. I'm going to bulletin board it so I can reference it and just be like, okay, I can see it now. Here's what we got. I like the World Cup. People ask me casually, they're like, do you follow the World Cup? I'm like, oh, the World Cup I'm into. every 4 years, I'm into soccer because it's the best of the best, and it is this international spectacle. Am I into regular run-of-the-mill American soccer? Pfft, no. And if that makes you mad, look, not everybody's into everything. I know we're trying. I know that our professional league is getting better, or so they say. I know we're producing better and better world-class players. But soccer in this country is still what it is. It's at the very end of the talent caboose. There are countless numbers of basketball, football, baseball players that are American-born and hockey players who, if our culture put soccer at the pinnacle, and if our sports ecosystem did not have these other options, which England, the Netherlands, Germany doesn't really have, then our best athletes, our biggest, our strongest, our fastest, our most gifted, would gravitate towards soccer, and we would have an unbelievable team. Because you only need 11. You only need 11 world-class athletes out of 360 million people and counting. I don't know what our current census population number is, but it's up there. We're not there yet. I hope the boys make a good long run. But I'm going to be into the World Cup as it begins on Thursday. And then you got the Knicks. The Knicks are up 2-0 after an incredible finish on Friday night in San Antonio. Wemby's folly will be talked about for some time. I'm not saying people are anointing him too early or too soon. It's what happens in sports. Guy blows up. Guy's an unusual talent, incredible talent, has big game. We in the media run with it, say all kinds of hyperbolic things. He's going to be the best player of all time, most dominant two-way force there is. Wemby is still 20. He is still a baby giraffe, and he makes mistakes like everyone does in sports, but he makes young mistakes. Outletting the ball in a tie game with no timeouts left, and then putting it off the back of Stephon Castle and having the very alert Jalen Brunson come snatch it up and then plowing into him, fouling him, sending him to the line for the go-ahead free throw. That is going to go down as an all-time folly. And then, of course, he missed the potential game winner on the other end. It was a tough finish for Wemby, and now the Knicks are in what I like to call the quintessential "Oh brother, where art thou" situation. You ever saw that movie with George Clooney, "Oh brother, where art thou"?
Yeah, it's like the Odyssey. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's a remake of the actual Greek myth, the Odyssey, but set to Southern redneckery in the 50s. And in that movie, as you recall, there is that one scene where they're holed up in the barn, and Clooney's character keeps saying, "Damn, we're in a tight spot. Damn, we're in a tight spot. You wouldn't stop saying it. We're in a tight spot here." Well, that's where the Spurs are. They're in a tight spot. The numbers of teams to have lost the first two games of a best-of-seven NBA playoff series and then go on the road and somehow figure out a way to win four of the next five, which is what they have to do, four of the next five, the numbers are very daunting. I don't have them in front of me, but it's like one or two times I think it's happened. If you count all of the playoffs, tight spot. And the Garden is going to be nuts. Speaking of which, Darren Revelle, who's going to join us here in just a few minutes, tracking the actual StubHub purchases online, because you can report, hey, look at this app that says a ticket to game three tomorrow night is $10,000 for a nosebleed. Okay, that's what the app says. That doesn't mean it's going to sell for that. The market is a weird fluctuating thing, but Darren has been tracking actual sales of Knicks tickets, and StubHub did just sell a pair of seats, center court, 26 rows up. Metal Chris, take a guess. You're 26 rows up, which is still really good. You are center court It's game three. Knicks haven't been to the finals since 99. They haven't won the championship since 72. What do you think that pair of tickets sold for?
Let's say $4,000.
For both?
For a pair, let's say $8,000.
So $4,000 for a bouncy ball game that's going to happen in front of your eyes and then disappear for the rest of your life, and you're out $4,000
in New York per there's person? People throwing money around. Like New York and L.A., people throw their money around, though, man.
The answer is $36,012 for the pair. Oh, that's right, kids.
You could buy a new car.
That is a brand new Hyundai Sonata for a 3-hour experience that will be fully televised in high definition for free at home or at a bar or at your buddy's house. Man, oh man, there is a lot of rich people in New York City. I don't want to sound like a property-taking Bolshevik, but maybe there's too much money in New York City. $36,000 for two tickets, and I think the price is only going up if they win tomorrow night and they have a chance to sweep and clinch at home. It'll be nuts. I'm going to talk to Darren Revelle next. He tracks this stuff. It's a phenomenon that is incredible to think that in this day and age, the popularity of sports continues to be on the rise. Plus, the sacrifice financially that Jalen Brunson made to help the Knicks assemble this team is remarkable and must not be forgotten. We'll talk about all that and more next. We are up and running on a hot June day on a sports Sunday here on The Fan in D.C. Coming up on 2 years ago, July 12th of 2024, Jalen Brunson took a hell of a lot less money to give the Knicks flexibility to build a team around him. How much less money? $113 million less guaranteed. He agreed on an extension, 4 years, $156. But by doing that, it gave them the flexibility to pay Cat and to also get OG locked up and a bunch of other things. It's hard for me not to be a Jalen Brunson fan. And if you're a fan of the Knicks, well, good luck getting into the Garden. All right, joining us now, Darren Revelle, founder of Collect Media, the premier collectible media site by collectors for collectors. Go see him at collect.com without the O and without the C. Darren, nice to talk to you again. You know, you made your first big splash by getting one of the cheapest tickets ever to a major sporting event, the post 9/11 Super Bowl in New Orleans. And right now you are front and center on the most expensive ever, which is the Knicks at home for games 3 and 4. Is this blowing you away?
Yes, because what makes this different than other huge tickets. So the only other times where there's really been something like this is as a result of ticket sellers, brokers, short selling, and then having to backfill. So the Super Bowl in Arizona got to $6,000-$8,000, even with the quantity, because they, at the end of the day, they couldn't backfill what they had already pre-sold. And, but this is just very interesting. Now, we are still trying to find out how much is real. Like, I've confirmed that there were two courtside tickets that sold for, what, $275,000. You know, and we have right now the Knicks are having a charity auction, and it's $500,000 for two. Here's the key here. So Dolan, owner of the Knicks, they have not opened up the exchange for Knicks fans to sell what they have. That's the only way they're technically allowed, and everyone's scared of selling off of that. So what is up currently on StubHub and TickPick and all these sites are people who are not scared, but there's still a bunch of quantity out there that we will see when that internal Ticketmaster for Knicks season ticket holders opens up, which will probably be at 7 o'clock on Tuesday, 24 hours, or sorry, 7 o'clock on Sunday, 24 hours before game 3 on Monday.
Really? Okay. So it's weird like that. I guess I saw the one about the charity, and I said, okay, that's an outrageous price, but it's a charitable deal. So that's a little bit different. What do you think the actual get-in price that somebody will pay for a ticket for a bad seat on game 3 is going to be?
I think probably I would say for sure it is not going to get below $2,800 for the worst seat. And that is obviously crazy. When I think about what that would be, the only thing I can think of is Toronto Maple Leaf Stanley Cup final. That's the only thing I can think of there. What's going to get interesting is if the Knicks win tonight, then game 4 becomes crazy. And that is going to be nuts with the idea of them sweeping and clinching at home. So I do expect game 4 to kind of be, should the Knicks win tonight, something crazy.
So as of Friday afternoon, I had seen some reseller sites and some screen caps showing 10,000 as the get-in price for game 3. Is that artificially high now that they're hoping to get that and it's going to eventually sink down to something less insane like 2,800?
For game 4.
No, the Knicks for game 3. For game 3. I'm seeing game 3.
Game 3 will not. Yeah, game okay. people are smoking it right now, let's say. I
mean, so the screenshots we see right now for get-in prices on a Friday afternoon, that's not going to hold. That's like
not for the obstructed seats and the ones in the rafters. No.
All right, what about for a lower level seat though? Could a just a regular seat
lower level seat could certainly be for game 3, you know, $8,000 to $10,000.
Okay. Yeah. So the question then is, why is it that when television is getting better and the screens are getting bigger at home and cheaper and everything else, is the surge and the demand to actually be there for these big events continuing to go up? I'm kind of blown away by that.
Because proving that you're there proves that you're rich enough, proves that you care enough. You know, we are now in this experience world. And sometimes when I see my kids go places, I feel like they're not absorbing like we do, but they're certainly telling the world that they were there.
They're getting the receipts, that's for sure. They may not be absorbing, but they get the receipts and the assets to say,
I was there while you were there. It's credibility. It's, oh my God, you went to San Antonio. And I do want to talk about that too. I mean, these are, and I've said this a couple times on Twitter, but you know, these are two separate events. They're two teams playing each other, but the product that is being sold in San Antonio and the product that is being sold in New York, they're two different, totally different things on different planets.
Right.
Because of what the excitement means to New York. The fact that they haven't won since 73, that they haven't played in the final since 99. So it's really the most interesting delta I've ever seen between going back and forth between cities.
Yeah. And you're not even going to have a physical ticket for that $6,000-$8,000 to be able to frame. Because,
by the way, if I won that charity auction, I would say print me a damn ticket.
Yeah, because imagine fumbling with your phone for a $260,000 ticket.
I need the receipt for the government. Put the face value on it.
Oh my God.
Give me that seat.
It's a fascinating development, and you're right. It's like a social flex to be able to say I was there. I just remember how expensive the Indiana-Miami college football championship game was, and I understand the basic dynamics of why it was, Miami being home, essentially, Indiana being the ultimate Cinderella story. But, you know, the day and age, like anyone predicting that this would be a downturn and people wanting to go to places, they're dead wrong. It's the opposite.
You know, I also think there's a differentiation between football and basketball. I mean, I think that if you go to a basketball game, and especially if you're courtside, you can see more than a football game. If you're at a football game and you're in a similar seat, you really don't see. You say you're there, but right. Like you have to go home and watch the game on, you know, just to see it again. I mean, it's like, you know,
yeah.
You're not seeing much of the game. So I think basketball in that sense is a little bit better of a value.
This is a boon, though. This is a big time boost for the league, the NBA.
They were in trouble. They were in trouble. People weren't watching games. You know, you had LeBron and Luka not making it far. The stars, and you know, Brunson's star is just amazing. I also remarked about the fact that when the 2018 game in October between the Mavericks and the Suns took place, the season opener, everyone was like, this is DeAndre Ayton's debut. And actually it was the debut of Luka Doncic and Brunson
on the same team.
So, you know, I think it's, when we always know when these big cities are in it, and you know, we know New York, LA, and Chicago really haven't been in it. So that is always a problem.
On the ticket front, the World Cup begins next week, and the tickets have really cratered a lot of the prices that FIFA was hoping to get. How badly did FIFA overplay their hand for the North American market?
Beyond. I mean, any New Yorker doesn't want to go. It's like, you know, the traffic is so bad. The $200, you know, on the rail system, that's normally a $10 ticket. It's like so disgusting. Like, do you really need to see it? And talk about not having to be there. I mean, you can't see much on the soccer field either, unless you're all the way up. And I just think they definitely missed it, and it's going to come down on, they're going to blame, you know, that the U.S. is still not serious and not ready for this product. But a lot of it is just, you know, the details of, you know, I think the better cities are going to be Charlotte and Kansas City and not New York.
Right, where it's easier New Jersey. Get to the stadium.
Yeah, you could go there. You can actually go there. The machinations of having to figure out how you can get to the game at MetLife Stadium is just impossible.
Yeah.
And not to mention, New York is already, you know, so much gridlock. You can't even get around in New York. So I think you want to do New York, and you want that to be the focus and the final and everything, but it just doesn't work out. Not how it is, not the state of traffic today where it's at, where there's been very little urban planning to make things better. I mean, I drive in every day. It's, you know, I go 17 for 17 miles. It takes me 2 hours and 10 minutes.
Oh man. That's
unless I do it at 5:30 in the morning, and yeah, I can maybe get in an hour and 15 if I'm lucky.
Yeah. Yeah. On the World Cup front as well, they expanded the thing to 32 teams, 32 nations, and that was a bit of a greedy grasp. And so you've got these matches, like I'm looking at Uruguay versus Cape Verde, and they want several hundred dollars for a ticket. Good luck on that. Yeah, we may be rooms.
The last time I saw Cape Verde was like when the NBA was trying to prove that it broadcasted 252 countries. Right. Are there 252 countries?
You count Cape Verde, that would be one of them. Yeah. On the collectible front, one more thing about the World Cup. I saw where the Diego Maradona Hand of God ball is up for auction again. It had been sold with his jersey as recently as 2022 for several million dollars. That ball is, I think, a pretty cool collectible. I don't have the money for it, but I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah, and apparently they've photo matched it a little bit more. It needed some more to go, and that's why it was only a couple million dollars. You know, this is what happens these days, taking a high quality photo and looking at the smudges and the marks and all the things that can only uniquely be that piece. And that is the difference in everything here. So I think this should go for a little bit more. The timing is great. You know, you have it's the 40th anniversary, you know, so I think this was normally it's not smart for someone to turn something around this quickly, but I think in this case, it probably is a good move for the collector.
All right. You have boys. What would you say to a dad with boys, young boys who are looking up at him like, Papa, can we go see the Knicks against the Spurs? How do you tell a kid who's, say, 7 years old who doesn't quite understand economics about why that's just not going to happen?
You know, I think I would say, you know, son, you know, the people who are going to be at the game, they've watched 90% of the games this year. You haven't earned it. You're not enough of a fan yet for dad to spend for you, you know, I feel like the only thing my kids watch is hockey, and they play hockey, but it's also a sport that is so quick and is 20 minutes a break, yeah, minutes a break, you know? And so, I actually don't think a lot of kids can watch it. Their minds can't take whole NBA games. But, you know, I think it's really like there are people who want to be there and me being a long suffering fan, only having one title in my entire fan career, being Nets, Jets, Mets, Northwestern, and Devils since 2010.
That's your array of teams, Darren?
Mets, Jets, Nets, Devils since 2010, and Northwestern. Wow. So I have a 1986 in the third grade. The Mets won the title, and that's all I have.
That is true fandom right there, and that is also quite the purgatory suite of franchises.
Here's the problem, Steve. The problem is if the Nets won with Kyrie and KD, I wouldn't have counted it because it would have just been.
It's not yours.
Yeah, it's no. Oh. It felt like ill-gotten. Like I don't.
Oh, you can't be that picky. This is the NBA,
super, the
Darren.
Super team. Like, hey. Maybe because I don't like Kyrie, but like I was feeling when that was getting closer, I was like, yeah, I don't really claim this team.
Yeah. Oh, God. Sports is fascinating. Collectmedia.com is Darren's company. It's always great to read your tweets, Darren, and we'll see where the final number on these tickets goes, but it's in the stratosphere.
Thanks, Steve. Sure. I will be at game three. I will be at game three.
Where'd you get your ticket?
No. With a press pass. Oh, I deserve it.
Okay, got it.
I deserve it. Yeah.
Good. Just checking on that. All right.
I told them I didn't need a seat. I'm going to be roaming around, picking out stories and stuff. So no seat for me, but I'll be in the building.
It'll be a wild night for sure. Darren, thanks for your time as always.
All right, take care. You got it.
Coming up, the NFL had a busy week as soon as June 1 hit. Myles Garrett to L.A., A.J. Brown to New England, and Brandon Ayuk is still not a Commander, but he's still making news for all the wrong reasons. Sports Sunday on The Fan. We're back Sports Sunday here on The Fan. Steve Zabin with you. Don't forget, you can listen to my podcast wherever you get good quality podcasts. It is the Zabecast. Look for it and put it on your playlist today. Good to be on this nice, hot Sunday in June. Chris Metal Chris behind the board. He's not outside today at some metal concert. Not at the Morgan Wallen concert. We're going to talk about that in a second.
I was at the Virginia Ring Fest yesterday, by the way.
Oh, you were? Okay.
Yeah, so I was outside all day yesterday.
You were? Yesterday. Yeah. Yesterday. Today is a little bit warmer, it seems like.
It was like 90 degrees down there.
Yeah, it's finally summer. We stole the weather for the first 3 days of the week. It was just glorious. And now we're into it. Like, hey, now the siege begins, after, and it's going to go on until September.
After that rainy Memorial Day weekend, I'll take it. I'll take the
siege. I know. Listen, I'll take it. So, the NFL had quite the week. As soon as June 1 hit, and, you know, we had known for a while that, okay, well, post-June 1, when teams designate guys to be released in order to manage the salary cap, it's an inflection point. It's a part of the calendar in which, okay, things do happen. I had no idea the amount of pow-pow that was about to happen, starting with Myles Garrett traded to the Los Angeles Rams for not nearly enough compensation, in my opinion. Basically, the way to look at this trade, at least I think, is that the Colts paid more in future first-rounders for Sauce Gardner than the Rams did for Myles Garrett. That's absurd. Myles Garrett is truly a Mona Lisa caliber of talent in the NFL. He is not just top shelf, but he is currently one of one. There's a lot of really good monster pass rushing players in the NFL. Or at least, I wouldn't say there's a lot. Let's say there's 8 to 12 elite edge guys. This guy is number one. And it's a secretariat number one. Myles Garrett is that guy. To me, your opinion may differ. I've heard and I've read elaborate explanations of how the Rams paid too much. They're not going to get as much value as they think. Yada, yada, yada. All I know is when I watch Browns games, and especially if you're watching a Browns game with a rooting, keen interest in the opponent, you watch in horror as your left tackle has no shot of blocking Myles Garrett. What look like exceptional plays by your quarterback to sprint out and elude being sacked is really just a fire drill because your left tackle barely got a finger on Garrett. His get off is too quick, his first move too explosive, his suite and array of different ways to come at you with power and speed and spin moves. It's insane. So assuming he stays healthy and assuming Stafford stays healthy, by the way, the Rams now have the reigning MVP on offense and the reigning DPOY on defense. No team has ever had that at one time. Now the Rams do. They are going to be insanely formidable, assuming full health. And you really can't assume it because of the NFL and teams and players know injury rate is 100% if you stretch it out for a long enough period of time. That was big move number one. Big move number two was A.J. Brown finally dealt to the Patriots as expected. As Diana Rossini reported many, many moons ago, a first-rounder goes back to Philly in 2028, so they have to wait a couple years for that. Howie Roseman of the Eagles said, look, we don't mind the fact that it's 2028. We're still going to be playing football then, and first-rounders are first-rounders. That's him spinning it because always you want to get a guy back earlier rather than later. Time is money, just like time is value when it comes to trades. So the longer you've got to wait for that first-rounder, it's not as potent. I don't get the whole A.J. Brown, why he was so upset in Philly, other than just he couldn't stand Jalen Hurts. He had gotten to the breaking point with Hurts to this extent that he couldn't deal with it. He exits Philly as their all-time leading receiver in almost every category, and he was super well-liked inside the locker room. Hurts now has to really declare once and for all that he is the QB1 he believes he is, without, of course, his number one guy in Brown. For the Patriots, they get a guy who they think is truly a number one, who's not too old just yet. That'll make Drake May even better. And then there's Brandon Ayuk. Keeps making headlines for all the wrong reasons. That's next. It is Sports Sunday here on The Fan. Ooh, Morgan Wallen, you are on the list, buddy. Was supposed to play Acrisure last night, and the concert got canceled, Metal Chris, at the last minute. There were thunderstorms that raked through the Midwest, causing havoc all kinds of places, both at the Memorial Tournament in Columbus, Ohio, as well as Morgantown, West Virginia, where West Virginia's baseball team is through to Omaha for the College World Series, and the fan base there has been going viral for their singing of Take Me Home, Country Roads. That's awesome, but I saw footage of a giant tent being ripped out of the ground and flown hundreds of yards away. Thankfully, nobody seriously hurt. But yes, the thunderstorms, they said, was the reason they canceled the concert. But now they're saying, well, wait a minute. There's proof that Morgan Wallen's plane was airborne before they actually announced that, oh yeah, no concert tonight. That he's like, I'm out of here. I mean, it really, you've been waiting for months for a big concert, your favorite artist. You spent a lot of money on tickets. You're going to a stadium, traffic, planning, your friends, where are we parking, what are we doing? And I get it, weather happens. But this looks like it was a dirty deal. Dirty, dirty deal. Brandon Ayuk, I want no part of him as a Commander. Some people, fascinatingly enough, do. I still don't get it. He is still property of the San Francisco 49ers, but now he's got another problem on his plate, which is he was issued this week a subpoena for arrest in a misdemeanor traffic violation. Now, he was going 104 miles an hour outside of Levi's Stadium and then filmed it on his Instagram like a moron. It took 6 months for this hard video evidence to then produce, hey, we should probably arrest you and give you a ticket. Shortly after that news broke this week, what then popped up on Ayuk's Instagram? That's right, video of him driving his car on a racetrack. Sort of a ha ha ha, ha ha. I mean, we don't even know the guy can play football. We don't know what kind of shape he's in. We don't even know what his, you know, rehabilitated injured knee looks like. You really, really, really want him, people. For those of you who are in the Ayuk category. I don't get it. And I don't think I ever will. Coming up, more is better. Or some people believe that. That's why expansion in college football is being pushed. Well, we're about to find out if more is better with the World Cup because they've changed it. They've added more teams. They've complicated the knockout stage. My effort to succinctly explain how this year's battle for national soccer supremacy will be different will be tested next hour, but I think I'm up to the task. That's next. It is Sports Sunday here on The Fan.